Hi, this is Lori, your host of Happiness Hangout, a space to come and elevate your happiness levels. You, me, and our guests will discuss and help you apply happiness to all aspects of your life, even if you're already happy. Get your daily boost of information to help you feel your best. Well, hello, listeners. This is Lori with the Happiness Hangout, a place and space to feel your best. So glad to have our listeners with us. And today, as you hopefully saw in my social media, we're going to be talking about decluttering your life and everything that goes around that, mentally, physically, spiritually. Very excited about the show. And of course, as usual, we have an expert guest, Allison Kiro, on our show. And I'd like to introduce Allison to all of our listeners. Allison Kiro, she grew up with two different organizational styles that were modeled to her. One parent was precision neat, while the other was a pack rat. Through her teenage and college years, Allison moved more like her pack rat parent, but when she became an adult and started living on her own, she searched for ways to easily get and stay organized. When Allison became an organizer back in 2004, she constantly searched for ways to make her clients' lives and her own easier through organization. However, minor amounts of clutter always tended to creep up in Allison's life, which she found frustrating and kind of exhausting, like it does for all of us. Finally, Allison had a major aha Oprah moment after reading a book about tidying up. She realized that using self-love as her decision-making tool, she could create her best possible living space filled only with what she liked, used, and needed. It was the only way to ensure the outcome would be life-transforming because she realized she was now only seeing good things in her home and life, and she was beginning to find herself underneath some of this clutter. By first using self-love in her organizing process, Allison was then able to transfer those same easy and simple techniques into all decisions she made in her life. Whether it was who to spend time with, what activities she chose, or objects she brought home, Allison had found that many parts of her life were beginning to improve because of her self-love decision-making. Increased energy, productivity, and overall contentment were just a part of what she's been seeing show up ever since. Allison Kiro, welcome to the Happiness Hangout. So glad to have you.
Oh, thank you so much, Lori. I'm so excited to be here and talk with you and your listeners.
Well, you know, Allison, this is an issue I think millions of people deal with clutter on some level. I definitely have a story with clutter that I don't mind sharing and actually shared on my blog as I do a blog about my upcoming show. And I've seen people suffer with it, and I know what it does, you know, to you physically, mentally, and spiritually and emotionally. So I guess I'd like to start out just in general, and we'll get going from here. Why do we, you know, I know sometimes we all get lazy and we have other things to do, and that happens. But other than that, why do we allow clutter in our lives?
Well, I mean, there can be several reasons for it. One could be that you've had a lot of trauma going on in your life, maybe from your childhood or even in your adulthood, and that sometimes gets you stuck, and then you start attaching emotions to your stuff, and it really makes it harder for you to let go. Another reason could be that this behavior was modeled to you by your parents or your guardians, and so you end up just creating the same environment that you were brought up in, and you have absolutely no idea why you're doing it. And then the third thing is, you know, things start happening, life starts happening, and instead of being aware of, you know, everything that's coming in and going out and what choices you're making, you sort of get lost in the shuffle and are just sort of, you know, focusing on, like, what fires can I put out? What's the easiest thing for me to deal with now? And it's less about, hey, what's going on in my life? What's showing up, and what does it mean to me? And we just sort of end up losing the awareness of what's going on. And so because we find it easier to just sort of, you know, go with the flow and just go, okay, well, that showed up, let me handle it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense because, you know, when you're, especially when you talk about the trauma part, because I know people have had life traumas and they have had issues, you know, with messiness and things coming into their life. And some parts I've seen their lives have been great. And then all of a sudden I have seen lots of clutter. And honestly, it shocks you. Like, I can't help but think about the show Hoarders. And I got really hooked on it when it first came out. I was intrigued because I have a psychology, counseling, and that kind of background. And I was very intrigued with it and, you know, came to the realization about, oh, this is my father. Because, you know, my dad was a smart man and he hooked up with a smart woman, my mother, who that hoarding issue was kept under control because, and I think he wanted it to be, but, you know, it wasn't something that showed much to the outside world because my dad would just build rooms off the house to put stuff in because my mother wasn't having it. You know what I'm saying? So, and then learning about my father's very, you know, really traumatic life growing up, which he never really shared. Then I began to learn through the show, oh, now this makes sense. When the dining room table would start to get filled up with stuff that my mother would just say, all right, let's go, you know, and get that, you know, dealt with. So it really never crept in the house. And when my dad passed, the whole house turned into a hoarding situation. And again, he found a way out of it. But it's very clear to me how your life and what goes on in your life can lead you to this point.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think for what really kind of ends up happening is that, you know, you start with the spiritual clutter. And if you don't handle that, it becomes emotional clutter. And when you don't handle that, it becomes physical clutter. And either it comes out as physical clutter where there's just stuff everywhere, or it enters into your body. Because there's very few hoarders I've ever seen who are not dealing with some sort of health issue as well. And I think it's because of all the clutter. It just lays in your body. And then if you don't deal with it there, it manifests out in the outside world as an expression of, hey, I don't feel safe and I don't feel like there's any structure in my life. And that's really what they're non-verbally saying with that, but they don't know how to get the help. And, you know, oftentimes the trauma has been so big. A lot of people, I think, feel like, you know, if I start talking about this, if I start dealing with this, I'm going to collapse in a heap and just completely and utterly die. But it's actually really the opposite. Once you start dealing with it and purging it, that's when you truly set yourself free.
Wow. I mean, and I can understand that just from understanding the psychology behind it. Do you also sense that people who specifically perhaps lived in a poverty or a situation where they were always needing but not getting, they tend to grab on to physical things and able to, because it's the way that they feel like they're making up for it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. In fact, I have seen many, many instances where anyone who lived through the Depression ends up with hoarding tendencies. And then sometimes that behavior is then passed down from generation to generation. That trauma gets locked and then it gets stuck in your DNA and you keep passing it down until someone gets the awareness and changes that behavior. But yeah, I mean, if you lived in extreme lack, you're going to want to hold on to anything and everything. And even whether it was lack of poverty or I think sometimes just lack of love, you hold on to things and assign an emotion to that. So you're trying to get the love from the stuff rather than the people that you couldn't get it from before.
You know, it really does. It's nice to be able to understand what's behind it because you could, I mean, I can imagine how much that it
can frustrate a person living with you, you know, even if it's not to the point of hoarding, but it's a point of extreme messiness. Because interestingly enough, I, you know, as a kid, I threw everything around, but I think that was a product of being an immature kid. The interesting thing is as I've grown up in a house with a hoarder who was controlled, I find that now I actually get almost, I don't know what word, I get stressed. If I see stuff lying around, I have to clean it up. And the older I get, the more I become that way. And I don't know if that's a product of, you know, kind of going through what I did. My dad was a great dad, but he put himself in position to be that. He was put in a position to be a caretaker when he was extremely young because his mom had children, you know, when she was older. So he had to take on those fatherly roles. He wasn't really getting love. He was trying to give love without ever really being given that love. So the love part really does make sense to me. Talk to us a little bit about self-love and a lot more about how that works.
Well, I mean, a lot of us through various circumstances are not making decisions that are self-loved based. And what ends up happening is you give a piece of yourself away every time you make a decision that really isn't for your best and highest good. And I'm saying that because I used to do it myself. I used to go, oh, well, I want to make that person happy. And so maybe I'd go do an activity with them, even though I was really tired and maybe needed to rest. And then I'd become even more tired. Or, I'd give time to something that I knew wasn't going to work out, successfully for either of us because I didn't have that, I wasn't making that self-love based decision. And so what ends up happening is you keep giving yourself a little bit of yourself away, a little bit of your time, a little bit of your energy, a little bit of, you're choosing against yourself because you're trying to give it to everybody else, trying to get that love that you want because you haven't given it to yourself. And until you start making these small little tiny self-love based decisions, life is probably going to seem really, really out of control for you. But once you start making tiny little one decision at a time, self-love based decisions of do I like this? Do I need this? Do I use this? Do I feel lighter when I say yes to this? Following the light, following the feeling that feels good. Until you do that, your life probably will seem very out of control. But once you start making those small decisions, that's when you start regaining the control. That's where the space starts opening up and life starts showing up in the way that you're looking for it to. And that's where you start empowering yourself. And that's where you learn the art of how do I really truly feel about this? Because I think what ends up happening is everything comes at us and we sort of all shut down and we get really out of touch with our feelings, our true feelings about what we want in our lives. And the more that we shut down and stop experiencing what we truly want means we're not making the right decisions for ourselves because we don't know how any longer. And so the more that we can get in touch with how we really feel to follow what I say is a truth is going to make you feel lighter, a lie is going to make you feel heavier. And so when you follow the lightness of yes, that feels like a really good yes to me, that's when the energy comes up. That's when you're getting more stuff done in less time. That's when you're making decisions that really work out for you in the end. And that's when you're able to start giving to people in the way that you really want to, because you have the time, you have the energy, and you have the mental, emotional, and physical space to be able to give that to people. But until you start making those self-love based decisions, you're just giving everything away but nobody's getting anything.
That makes sense. It's somebody's enjoying their motorcycle ride around your place,
Yeah,
it sounds
and I
like.
shut the window. It's warm out, and so everybody's just roaming around. I'm so
No,
sorry.
that's okay. I love it. I was outside playing badminton, get some exercise before the show. So it's wonderful. But no, back to what you're saying. Sometimes it's really overwhelming, especially people that do hang on to things because of multiple reasons. It could be because, like you said, of whatever lack they had, or perhaps they are looking for love, so they put it into things, or whatever it might be. What do you recommend as the little first step to take? I mean, I know when I need to clean something out and it looks daunting, I will say to myself, all right, 15 minutes. That's all you have to spend, Lori. Because a lot of times what I'll do is everything looks great outside, then I'll throw stuff in a place. And then I'll look at that and that will drive me crazy. And I'll say, 15 minutes. That's all you have to put into this. And then I do it and I love how it feels, like the way it looks and getting rid of stuff. And now I know what's there. And oftentimes I find what I call treasures, like money, pairs of shoes I forgot, a top with a tag on it, or something in there. I'm like, oh my God, or something like, pads of paper that I really, could use for things. Even little, I call them treasures because they're so wonderful. Do you recommend something like that? Or how does a person who really struggles with this start this process?
Well, I mean, I think awareness is the beginning of any process, which is, yeah, really, I have three questions of with that are based on awareness of what do I have, where is it, and why am I keeping it? So, and that's going to answer a lot of things for you. And so when you're getting started, sometimes it is about just saying, you know, I need to take stock in what I own so that I have an understanding of what it is exactly I have. Because exactly, I can't even tell you how many times I've had a client who finds money, and it can be, you know, I think I found one check one time for up to $20,000. How do you
Oh my
lose a check
gosh.
for 20 grand?
Oh my.
So, you know, yeah, people are just losing money right and left. They don't open their mail and there's money in that. Or they're losing out on their favorite things. I've cleaned out clients and they found birthday presents that had been unopened from the previous year. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know which is worse, the poor people went and made the effort on that gift, or for you to never even be able to enjoy it. So,
Oh.
I mean, and it can be just as small as if you're tired, if you're overwhelmed, if you don't have a lot of time, just tackling a small area and going, okay, what is it that I have here? Where does it truly belong? Because that's another thing that you can do is if you assigned us a place, a designated area for each item you have in your house, that's going to help you understand where it goes, where you keep it, and where you're always going to be able to find it. And if you put it back in a different space, that's where clutter is going to start accumulating. It's when you put something back in a different place that it doesn't belong, all of a sudden that's a I don't know where that goes pile, and more stuff goes there. Because if one thing shouldn't be there, then you start adding more and more and more. So you can just do 15 minutes of organizing. You know, you can also just create simple systems of, you know, I never know where my keys are, and I lose 10 minutes every single solitary day. You can put a hook on your wall or a bowl near the entrance to where you live and put your keys there and just get in the habit of always keeping them in that one spot. And then you gain 10 minutes of your time each and every single solitary day. So if you start making small little systems that are super easy for you to do, it ends up helping you keep track of things, and it also ends up helping you have a lot more time in your day. And again, 15 minutes, if you do 15 minutes a day, you're still going to be making a lot of progress and a lot more than you would if you do absolutely nothing. So 15 minutes a day could be great, and it could just, that could be your love-based decision every day of, I'm going to take 15 minutes and I'm going to tackle a pile of clutter. And whatever I get done, I get done. And then I'm going to say, hey, I did a really great job and go do something else. But tomorrow I'm going to get up and I'm going to do the same thing again. And the more you do it and the more you stick to it, A, I think that you're going to find that you're feeling more motivated. You're going to start seeing the difference. And you're going to start noticing a difference. And it's, you're going to want to start keeping up with this method because you're getting rid of things you don't love anymore and you don't need in your life, while you're also taking note of the things that really you do enjoy in your life. I mean, isn't that so exciting when you find things that you really love having? That's a great feeling.
Right, because your home is your space to love. And you know, I would want to open this up to callers, and I don't want to forget to put the number out there. If you have questions for Allison, want to talk about your issues or whatever that might be, you can call us at 888-627-6008. Again, the call-in number is 888-627-6008. And you know, Allison, I've also found that like I've gone to the store and said, I had some issues. I'm in a condo and I really tried to live as lean as possible. And there were some issues. And I said, I can't take it anymore. And I had a little time and I said, I'm going to the store and there's a particular couple places I love to shop. And I said, I'm going to look around for things that will fit in my space to organize me. And I had such a blast because I gave myself a treat. I bought a little thing, you know, for my kitchen. And a lot of times when I get something new, I try to take the thing out that I'm just done with. It served its time. And I want to, you know, have a little something else as a treat somewhere in the house. So I might put that up. And so I bought some hangers because there were just too many coats lying. I bought these little hanger things that were so cute. That took that problem away. Shoes were everywhere. I found the right box, perfect size. And it was real cute in the corner because I have to be frugal of space when you walk in my door because there's not a lot of space. And now all those shoes are in there, everything's hung up, and all that space is clean. And I don't feel that awful stress that comes into my head when things are messy. I can take dusty. Okay. I can do dust. I can't do messy. And I really enjoyed that trip because doing it and just doing that little trip and cleaning up just made me feel so good.
Well, and you went about it the right way. You walked into the store saying, "I'm going to treat myself, and this is a love-based decision to make my life look better and feel better." But then you also went in and you found items that not only worked for the way that you needed them to function, but you kept mentioning the fact that you found things that were cute. And that's what I always recommend to clients, is that you have to merge form with function with your products, because if it looks gross, you don't want to use it. And if it doesn't function in the way you need it to, you can't use it. So when you're going to go buy products, you really need to make sure that the products that you're buying, you really like them, you're really excited about wanting to use them, and they also work for what you're trying to use them for, because then you're going to actually start using it and it's going to help you make your life a lot easier. So now you walk in, you can see all your shoes, you know where they are. Now you walk in, you have all your coats hanging up, they look great and you feel better. And then also, yeah, you've allowed yourself to let go of that clutter, that mental clutter, that even if you walk in and you ignore the fact that those coats were lying on the ground below or before, you knew it in your head. And that to you is clutter, because it's a distraction of, that's something I need to take care of. I don't like the way it looks, and it makes you feel heavier. Once you took care of the problem, you felt lighter, you let it go, and now you can focus on other things that are far more important.
Well, very true. And for those people who are on a big budget and they really have to be careful, most people know those stores or those places or Goodwill, anywhere that they can find storage that's really inexpensive. And for a little bit of money, it can really, help your psyche, so to speak. And when you talk about spiritual, we know everything connects. I mean, our mental, our physical, our spiritual, our emotions, whatever that is, all connects. And I just feel like when we're in a space that we look around and we feel good about, and it's soothing, it's calming, it's what we love, I think it just affects our whole life on every level.
It has to, because everything is energy. It's a scientific fact. So if you have the low-lying energies of guilt, of fear, of shame, of sadness, of anger, any of those things lying in your home, whether it's a sweater that you hate because your Aunt Ida, who you didn't like, gave it to you, or anything, or you bought an outfit that you never wore again and it was super expensive, all of that is sitting there as like an unspoken, thing hanging in your life that you really don't need. And the more that you get rid of those and you say, "I'm not going to allow that guilt, that shame, that fear to rule my life," and all you're seeing are things that make you happy, it transforms your life. And that's what happened to me, is, at first I started with my wardrobe. And I didn't have that much clothes at to begin with, because I had been through an illness and I lost a lot of weight, and so I didn't have much left. And I'm thinking, oh God, I'm really gonna have an empty closet. But I really went for quality versus quantity. And what I ended up with was, now I open my closet and I can see everything and I know where everything is. And I like everything that I have. It's exciting to go up and go, "Ooh, what can I wear today?" Instead of opening it up and seeing a bunch of clothes strewn all over the place that you can't even find anything, and going, "Oh God, I've got nothing to wear." That's not a great feeling. But when you end up with the feeling of, "I have great things to wear," and then all you're wearing are things that really make you feel happy, even if it's your lounge wear, you're going to see that, because you're wearing it, you feel more empowered. And then every time you look in the mirror, you're going to see a great looking you shining back. How can that not affect your mood? And how can the allowance of you just allowing things that make you feel joyful or happy or content or positive in your life not have a positive impact in every way, shape, and form?
Well, I don't see how you couldn't. And I kind of want to get into talking about, people who really struggle with this. And I think the average person can understand what you're saying, because sometimes we get lazy, or sometimes we're just too busy, or sometimes, and the average person, understands, I think, what you and I have been talking about. Just start with 15 minutes, go to the store, you can do these things. When we're talking about people, and I'd love to run through some scenarios with you if we could, even without obviously giving names, if you had clients in these scenarios, love to hear the stories. But when you talk about people who have, guilt, shame, fear, for example, lots of scenarios. We could go through one that says, "What do I do when this was handed down generation to generation, or I got this for, 40 years ago, and I can't just let it go. Can you talk to us a little bit how to deal with those kinds of scenarios?
Yeah, well, with the family inheritance thing, it's not like DNA. You don't have to keep it. You have an actual choice. In fact, I remember just recently reading about this in an advice column, and the woman's like, it's just not me. I don't want it. These are not happy memories for me. But my mom, they made her happy. I think it was an old photo album or something. And so basically, if you've got something like that that's been passed down for generation after generation, and it's you don't love it, you don't have any emotional connection, or maybe the emotional connection is not one of positivity, the first thing you do is see if anyone else in your family wants it. If it's a no, then go and do whatever you want. Get rid of it. There's no reason for that. You have to keep that in your life. That is not who you are. And you don't need to sit there and represent, generation after generation of your families, because you, as the person you are doing that anyway, just by being you in the body you have. You do not have to carry a possession to prove that you are a member of that family at all. And so you really don't have to feel the guilt unless you choose to, because it's not your birthright to keep a hold of something that you don't want. It's like, okay, if cancer gets passed down in your family, are you going to fight it, or are you going to go, oh, well, it's just a family heirloom,
Yeah. Oh, no, obviously. And I can imagine how hard that is, because, I have things of my mom's that she collected that I don't really like. And, sometimes I think maybe I could keep one, or I could, somebody could have them that do collect those things. Or what about creating a new memory? I know that some of these relatives or people, or maybe even things you've had for 40 years that are your own generational things, like you started them. And you think, okay, I'm kind of sick of looking at it, or maybe it's just cluttering up the house or whatever. I mean, everybody has different emotions towards that. You can always create new things and new memories too, when you realize, hey, maybe this has served its purpose. I think a lot of times, I'm going to go off on that one. I think a lot of times what I had to learn in life is sometimes things serve their purpose, and it's a time for that thing, and then it's time for it to go. And I don't want to be trite about this, but I even say that about people in our lives, that they were supposed to be in my life for this period of time. It was amazing. If I saw them again, I could probably talk to them like it was yesterday, but I can't fret over every person that's not still in my life, because there was a purpose for us and each other. And when the time was up, the time was up, and there's nothing wrong with that. I just kind of see a parallel there.
Oh, no, there's a huge parallel. And I think that you can use this system to make those kind of decisions as well of, when you go out with this person, or the thought of having coffee with this person, if you're not feeling light and going, yeah, that's a really great idea, but rather feeling like, oh, God, I don't know if I really want to. Even if that person's amazing, you're just, you've had that time. And the other thing is, from something you bought 40 years ago, that was you 40 years ago. People change. We all change. We all grow. That's our purpose on this planet, is to change and grow and become the true people we are. But that's always changing. So just because something was right for you and great for you 40 years ago doesn't mean it's right for you now. And yeah, you can either update it, or you can change it, or you can take a piece of it and carry it with you. But that doesn't mean that you have to carry everything that at one point was a yes for you with you for the rest of your life, whether that's friends, activities, or physical items that you bring into your home, whether they have a history or past or not with you.
Well, that makes sense. And if you don't mind, I'd love to talk through some more scenarios. Like, if you've had scenarios come into your life with clients that, people that are really struggling with this, like we talk about fear, shame, and guilt with people giving you even anything. What if people give you things that you really don't like right now? What do you do?
Yeah, well, what I do when I get gifts that I don't want or like right now is I look at it and I go, that was so sweet and kind of them to take the time and the energy to purchase something for me. And that's so wonderful and kind. And I take the love and the sharing that was meant with from that gift, And I receive that. And then I write a very nice thank you note that's very heartfelt. And then I do whatever I want with it, which is often either giving it away to somebody else who I know wants it, or donating it, or maybe using it for a different purpose if I can find that. But I got tired myself of keeping stuff that really wasn't something I enjoyed. And I'll tell you one thing that happened to me is when I was a teenager, one of my aunts gave me a porcelain clown and I liked it. And then cut to 3 years later, I'm sitting in a room with 15 clowns and I hate clowns. And so for me, if I don't put that kibosh immediately on certain things, I'm going to end up with a bunch of stuff that I don't like or want, and that kind of creeped me out. And that to me isn't fair. And it's not fair to the person who gave you the gift to keep giving you something that you really don't like. So A, if it's just a one-time off item, you can give it away at 2 seconds after you received it. That's your right. You have the right to do with a gift whatever you want to do with it. You know, you, that is not a, you know, that's not a handcuff of you now owe me something because I gave you a gift. The gift is just a, hey, I care about you. There should be no strings attached. And if there are, give the strings back.
I never thought of it that way. The gift was just saying, I really care about you. Maybe not that exact gift. And that's, see, you know, a lot of this is, you know, our North American society has put, or could be other things too, but the way we're raised, our culture, our religion, even the way, you know, that families pass down what's right and wrong. I think a lot of times the reason the guilt is there is because we're raised to say, oh, you know, they gave you that gift. That's precious. And I can't help but think of that movie, Christmas Story, when poor Ralphie comes down in that pink, giant pink bunny suit. And remember, I don't know if you ever saw it, but we watched it around Christmas, and he's looking like, and you know, poor Ralphie's probably stuck keeping that bunny suit because Aunt Matilda gave it to him, you know, for his whole life. But they're just things. And you know, I even, the more I'm talking to you, the more the idea of saying, I want to keep one of these things, and then one of this and one of this, as sort of my own personal memorandum, because that feels good to me. Instead of keeping 15 of these and then 20 of these and 5 of these, I'm going to keep one of each. Or maybe even I take a picture of something and say, I'm going to make a photo album of all these wonderful things that I loved and, you know, that are history to either family, friends, or whatever, and then I'm going to give them to somebody else who loves them. Because I find I'll say, you know what, I don't want this anymore, and I'll often give it to, you know, somebody else and say, hey, do you like this? And sometimes people are like, yeah, I could use that. And then it just really makes you feel good. But if that doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. I just try not to get hooked on things. And I think people can get really stuck in that. And the way you just explained it, to say, hey, you know, it's just a thing. It's the thought of it that's really there. You love the person for doing that for you, not the specific gift. I love that.
And it's the only way to really do it, because otherwise you're going to be sitting there with a closet full of guilt. Do you really want guilt staring you in the face in your own home? And that's not fair to you or the person that gave it to you. So...
Well, of course, I think maybe sometimes people get the guilt if they even try to give it away. And that can be their problem with holding on to it. So they have to change their, what I hear you saying is they have to change their mindset about what these things are and what they mean to you. They don't have to be about the things. They could be about the sentiment behind them. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah. And that's the thing is we're attaching the emotion to the gift, to the thing versus the person. You need to be attaching it to the person, because it's the relationship with the person that matters the most, not the thing that they gave you. Because not everybody is a good gift giver. That doesn't mean I need to keep it if you know, are not a great gift giver. But I can appreciate the fact that you love me and you care about me. But that doesn't mean I need to hold on to it for the rest of my life. And that doesn't make it a judgment against you or a judgment against me. It's just, it's a thing that doesn't fit in my life anymore. And that's it. And that's it for, you know, anything that comes into your life. If it doesn't fit you any longer, You don't need to keep the emotion. I think a lot of people too, if you buy something and you spend too much money on an outfit or whatever, you've got the guilt of, oh, I never wore that, but I spent so much money on it. But what I want you to focus on instead is not going, oh, I feel guilty because I spent a lot of money. How bad am I? You focus on, hey, when I bought that, I was really excited about that. That was a great feeling. Now that feeling's over and you can let it go because you're never going to get that feeling back again. The feeling's just going to be guilt. There's no point in keeping that in your life. So give it or sell it or do whatever to somebody else who is going to enjoy that item. Maybe you'll get some money back, maybe you won't, but you will feel much better getting it out of your life than you will if you continue to keep it in your life.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. How do you deal with particularly difficult cases of people that are really struggling through this? I assume in some of your client work, you probably have dealt with some extreme cases of people trying to deal with this.
Yeah, I've definitely worked with hoarders before, and it definitely is difficult. And a lot of times I do recommend that they work with some sort of a counselor or something like that, because when you're working in tandem, they can help work on the clutter, the mental clutter, while I'm helping them work on the physical clutter. But what I really have them do is I start focusing on one category at a time. So I always say, let's start with your clothing, because I think you're going to start noticing the differences first. And there's less of an emotional attachment a lot of times with your clothing than it is with certain other items. And so I sort of work it up going easier, little less easy, a little less easy, until you get to the end where you're dealing with your sentimental items. Because by that point, you've gone through the process enough times where you have let go of a lot of the emotional baggage, and you also know what the process feels like and looks like. So it's a lot easier for you to be able to deal with it and make the right choices if you wait to deal with those sentimental things last, versus trying to tackle them first. So start easy and build. That's the same way, it's like if you're teaching a toddler how to walk for the first time, you don't stick them on a pair of skis. You wait until they can get up and they're walking around. But first they have to fall, fall, fall. It's a process in life, as is with everything else, that, the more that you do it, the easier it gets.
Well, you're making lots of sense, to me here. And the word here that, when you and I had gone back and forth about what we're going to talk about, there was a key word that you had said about being aware and awareness. And obviously it's important to become aware. Do you think there's a lot of people out there that aren't even aware of what's going on around them? In other words, they feel bad, they don't really even know why. We as outsiders might see it. But do you find a lot of people maybe just not aware how much it's affecting them?
Oh yeah, I think most people are. I think that we're so inundated with messages of not being enough, of not having enough, and not doing enough that we all just end up feeling bad, and we're focusing on, oh, well, I'm not making enough money, so therefore I'm not good enough, or I don't have the right job, or I don't have the right friends, or I don't have this, I don't have that. And when you turn to social media or watch the news, all you're going to see is somebody has something else that you don't have, and you end up feeling really bad about yourself and sort of getting yourself stuck instead of going, hey, wait, I'm not going to focus on that stuff. I'm going to have the awareness of what is in my life right now, who is showing up, what have I collected, what is in my home, how do I feel about it, and why is it there, and is it helping me or is it hindering me having a better life? And one of the things I like to do is it's a small exercise, because I think most people, you've sort of gotten out of touch with your feelings, and you don't even know how you feel about certain things, and it makes it really hard to make a decision if you don't know how you feel. I think sometimes you just sort of go into that, like, I don't have the time to feel, so I just sort of go on autopilot. And so I usually just have people take the thing they love the most in their home and then grab the thing they like the least, and then maybe like a receipt that they could care less about. And I have them hold the thing that they like the most in their hands, and I want them to see it, and I want them to touch it, and I want them to get in touch with the feeling of, That's what I feel like when I put on that dress that makes me feel wonderful and that light, airy, positive, happy feeling, because that's going to tell you this is the right decision for me. This is the way to go. And then when you touch that thing in your hand that you hate the most, that grimy, gross, blue, I feel like in muck kind of feeling of, oh God, I don't want to have to put that on again. That's your body telling you that that's ready to let that go. And so the more that you can get in touch with those two things, or even having the thing that you're apathetic about, so you know the difference between blah, apathy, and yay, the more that you get in touch with those feelings, you're gonna know, hey, that's a good decision because I feel lighter and I feel more energetic. And the more that you go towards that light and that energy, whether it's making a decision of getting rid of something in your house or making a decision on a job or with a purchase or anything that you're doing, the more that you go with that light, airy feeling, the more things are going to show up that you like because you're going after that. And but you now know what that feels like, and then you know what that looks like.
Using your gut.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, 888-627-6008 is the number to call in. We're here with Allison Kiro, who is our declutter expert, and we're talking about being aware of what's going on with what we love and what we hate and how our lives can get cluttered. I find I do that very easily, where I'll look at something and when I'm cleaning out something, and I can quickly go, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. I think probably because I have been cleaning out things periodically for many years. So I bet that's something that maybe I've learned. And of course, I'm sitting here, I do this remotely, in another place from where the station is, and I'm looking around going, right, I've been looking around the whole show going, getting rid of that. That needs cleaned out. Don't want that anymore. It's so funny because I can't help it. And then I've found things that I just absolutely still love. But it's also okay, I think, to say, you know what? If you're really frugal, a lot of times people just hate spending money on things, but you're right. Your home is a sanctuary to you. And maybe it's your car, or for the guys out there who are, who have hobbies and things get messy with those hobbies. Guys and girls who like to, work with their hands, and then they're in their space and the space is a mess. It's like sometimes you just got to sit down and start cleaning it, because then you want to go into that space again. You want to produce again. I don't know. I don't. I have people who say, "Well, I know where everything is, even though it's like this." I'm not sure, Allison, whether I believe it, or what it's an excuse, or whether they really do feel that way.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that a bunch of times, and I've had artists go, oh, but if I created a system and set things up, then, I might lose my creativity. And I'm like, no, actually, I think you would find more creativity. I mean, would you do you, if you're going to start a painting, do you want an empty canvas or do you want one with drawings all over it already? I mean, you'd be starting with a bunch of stuff in there in your head and in your mind that's going to take and detract you from having that open space to have the creativity come through, but also to be able to find everything quickly and easily. And I would say they go, oh, I have a system and I know where everything is. But they're also the kind of people who can go, oh, I just put down that piece of paper and I lost it for 10 minutes. That's not an
Yeah.
effective system. And you don't have to set it up so that it looks appealing to anyone else. It just has to work effectively for you. So if you're taking 10 minutes to find a piece of paper, it's not working effectively for you. If at any moment somebody says, hey, can you go find that piece of paper? Within 30 seconds, I know exactly where to find it in my filing system. And I don't enjoy filing as a fun thing for me to do. But I also don't enjoy looking for papers for obtain amounts of hours. So I chose to make a self-love based decision to make my home environment the biggest, best sanctuary that I possibly could because I know that I'm going to be able to produce more in less time and have the energy to do it and then have the energy to focus on other things. And if you're going to have your hobby be the thing where all the chaos is, I don't know. That kind of bums me out because I feel like that's the thing that you look forward to the most. That's your outlet, and yet you've put in a bunch of clutter into your creative outlet or the thing that your Zen outlet. Like say you love fishing, but you can't even get out there because half the time you can't find any of your fishing gear. then you can't go do the fishing. What fun is that? I think you're preventing yourself from having that joy, the most amount of joy that you could have, by not getting organized, especially in that creative space or that zen space of the hobby that you love to do.
So true. So true. And right now I've got 3 volunteer jobs. I teach, I have my business, and I do another little bit of work for someone else. I have 6 bags, and I literally put stuff in the bags and have them lined up. So I know exactly where to go for my stuff. And within those bags, now sometimes I do have it organized, but I can't say I'm as good as I have like folders for stuff, but sometimes I'll say I'm going to have to just throw it in the bag for the moment. But I do tend to get back and just at least throw it into the right file folder because my life would be chaos. And people think it has to be chaos. How could you have all this stuff going on? My life is wonderful. I love my life. And if I didn't do it that way and I was sticking stuff in all kinds of places, it just overwhelms me to think about it. And so I think people, sometimes people who don't have that mindset of being organized, they're much more go with the flow. They don't like that kind of structure. They struggle with it, but I tend to wonder once they do it, I would imagine they would feel better.
Well, that's the thing. I consider myself very much a go with the flow person. I don't like a ton of structure, but my life is easier when I set up simple systems. And you get more stuff done by setting up those simple systems. It's not about structuring your life so that every little second of your life is down to a nanosecond is completely structured. It's about setting up successful and simple systems that you can replicate over and over and over again to get more stuff done so that you then have more free time to do whatever it is you want, whether it's, doing more work or having more playtime or having more time with your family or any other thing that you want to do. But if you, I, you know, I think any, if you look at a successful business person who has a lot of stuff going on, the more that they've streamlined and systematized their lives, the easier it is for them to get more done in less time. And that's why they're able to accomplish as much as they can.
Sure, absolutely. Because I often wonder how big, CEOs of companies, I know that you can hire people to help get you. But when you're on the rise and, you're at that point in your life where you have a lot going on and you're starting to maybe make something really successful in your life with a career, and maybe you have kids and other things, I always often wonder, like I said, especially people who have a lot of whatever they do going on, I often wonder how they actually can do all of that. I'm beginning to learn that they have to learn to say no, and they have to learn, they put systems in place to say, this is what I can do right now. Because personally for me, Allison, I don't like to do things unless I can do them really well. I'm one of those people. And also if I don't like it, I just don't want to do it anymore. And I hate to say that, but I think people probably put their own systems in place to say, I'm going to have to say no to these things, or I'm going to have to, this is super important to me. So it is being put in my life. And no matter what, maybe other things aren't going to be. So I would imagine that's how they handle it.
Yeah, well, that's them making love-based decisions of, yes, this is what I have time for. Yes, this is something that makes my heart sing and it's really interesting to me. And, yes, I really want to do something like that. And then anything that they don't like to do or they're not good at, they delegate it. They find somebody who's better at it than them. Why are you going to waste your time doing something you hate? What a negative, no-win situation. I've never seen any good out of doing something you didn't want to do. But when you can give that task to somebody else who is going to enjoy it, all of a sudden, and you're freed up to do something that you do want to do that does make your heart sing. That's when you start becoming successful. So, yeah, one of the first things you need to learn is the best way to love yourself is to learn how to say no. Because the more that you can say no, because you are thinking of this is how I create a win-win situation, which is when I've got the time, when I've got the energy, and when my heart is going, yeah, that's a win, That's when win-win happens. But when you don't have those lined up, then everything becomes hard. It feels like you're stuck in mud and you don't go anywhere and you're not successful. So the only way to really be successful is to go, you know what? Hey, that's not going to work for me now. Hey, I don't have the energy for that. Hey, I'd rather have somebody else do that for me because that's not a task I want to do or I have time to do. And if you can hire somebody to do that same task at a lower rate than you would be doing it for your time, then it's even win-win-win. So yeah, I mean, the art of saying no is one of the smartest, best self-love decisions that you can make.
Absolutely. Well, before we get to, you know, I want to talk to our listeners a little bit about your services and what you do. Are there any last minute tips we haven't covered? And maybe we have covered them, but are there any last minute organizational tips that save people time?
I would just say when you're setting up a system, you really just need to keep it simple and put like things together. So, you know, keep your knives next to your forks so that when you're thinking about, oh, where did I put that last? You're going to think, oh, okay, I put that with the rest of the similar things. So the easier the system is, the easier it's going to be for you to be able to use it and to use it effectively and to keep maintaining it.
Great. Tell us a little bit about what you do for clients or what you'd like our listeners to know about what you do.
What I do is I work with clients, either individuals or families, and I work with them either on the phone or via Skype, and I help them create a system to teach them how to make these small self-love based decisions, to clear out the clutter, to set up systems that work for their family and how they're currently operating so that they're able to open up more space, have more flow, and really start making decisions that are going to allow them to all start working together as a more cohesive unit, or if you're on your own, just working more cohesively with yourself. And also I help you find any products that you might need, or if you're trying to purge some stuff, I can come up with ideas about, you know, the best place to either sell them or donate them or things like that. But it's really about providing the guidance, the support, and then teaching you a very easy to learn skill set that's going to help you navigate the rest of your life really, really successfully. I also sell MP3s where you can listen as you're working to create a different space. So if you're a do-it-yourselfer or you're not ready to work with someone one-on-one, this is a great way that you can just download it and transform your wardrobe or your bedroom, or if you're struggling with emotional triggers, that's going to help you get unstuck. So it's basically the same information I'm sharing in a session, but you can listen to it as often as you want.
Great. How can we find you? Should we find you on your website, or where can people find you?
Yeah, the best way to find me is through my website, which is ackorganizing.com.
ackorganizing.com. Wonderful. Well, Allison Kiro, it was wonderful to have you on the show. I'd like to take a minute to thank our sponsors. A big thank you to AirServe of Strongsville and AirServe of Menor, both in the Cleveland, Ohio area, servicing all of your residential and commercial heating and cooling needs. That's www.airserve.com, AirServ, airserve.com. Humanity Thriving Out Loud. Visit and read the Magic Happens magazine. Go to themagichappensnow.com. Once again, Allison Kiro, thank you so much for being on the Happiness Hangout. And everybody, go to Allison's website, look at some of her tips, and get started on that clutter today. You'll thank yourself for it. Thanks, Allison.
Oh, thank you, Lori. I had a great time.
Me too. Have a wonderful night.
Thanks, you too.
Help us grow the Happiness Hangout Show. Become a sponsor. Businesses and nonprofits, get your info out there to thousands of my listeners all over the world for just pennies. Individuals can also sponsor one or more shows, and you get a shout out to your favorite charity. Several packages available. Come see what you get and put out there what's important to you. Go to www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net for more information. This is Lori Peters with the Happiness Hangout. I provide presentations on happiness and well-being to businesses, schools, and anyone involved in wellness and professional days. Check out tons of free resources and activities also at my website, www.happinesshangout.net. Feel better wherever you are.